This is the day the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. I appreciate the reading Van gave this morning. We're going to study a lesson on faith. We're going to study that lesson from the book of James. In Mark 11, Jesus had come from Jerusalem down to Bethany. And he was hungry. And it says that he saw a fig tree afar off having leaves and came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. This is what you would call an object lesson, okay? And it seems a little bit, when you read it, a little bit hard to understand, really, because it tells you that Jesus saw the tree, it had leaves, but it wasn't yet time for the figs. Now, I got a fig tree in my backyard. It's full of leaves, but there's no figs. Figs come in July, mid-July, 1st of August. It's when you have figs. And yet Jesus cursed the tree for not having any figs, and he says his disciples saw it. Now the next day, as they're coming out of Bethany going back to Jerusalem, they pass by this tree, and they find that the tree has now dried up. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up at the roots. Jesus is having an object lesson for these his disciples to understand. The power of faith. Three verses later, he says, For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, Jesus isn't talking about casting mountains into the sea. He's talking about having faith in God. And your relationship with God. James puts it this way. He says, He that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. Let not him that wavers think he will receive anything of the Lord. James tells us that when you are speaking to God and when you're requesting things from God, it must be accompanied by faith. So when one speaks of a study in faith, my mind always rushes straight to the book of Romans or Hebrews chapter 11. That's the great chapter of faith. You get the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11:1. You get in verse 6, the fact that without faith, it's impossible to please God. All that come to the Father must believe. And then you have a whole host of men who are counted as faithful. And we think of those men who God delivered with a mighty hand. Now, in Hebrews, it starts off by talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Moses and Abraham and Isaac. But he goes toward the middle of that book. He says, and time fails me to mention, and he mentions Daniel, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Joseph, and many, many others. Men who God delivered because of their faith. But he also says there are men that God chose not to deliver, but to allow to be victorious, overcoming evil with good. Men like James, who was beheaded. Peter and John that were beaten. John was exiled. Peter was crucified. Antipas was murdered. Stephen was stoned. Paul suffered all sorts of difficult times. It wasn't that God could not have saved these men, but it's like what Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said to Nebuchadnezzar. When he said, our God is able to deliver. But if not, well, God was able to deliver. He delivered those men in chapter 11. And he allowed others to be delivered through victory by giving their lives. Hebrews chapter 11. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. People who endured. So chapter 11 of Hebrews gives us a lot of really powerful examples of men and women of faith that overcame. And then those who have expectation of receiving the promises of God. But our lesson's not on Hebrews. Our lesson's on the book of James. And when I say we have a lesson in faith, I can almost bet you nobody said, oh yeah, let's go to James. But the book of James is literally a book of faith. The difference, James gives us a practical understanding of faith and how with applying ourselves, we can overcome through faith and receive the blessings promised, just as the men in chapter 11 overcame. So the great thesis of the book of James, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's the underlying theme of the book of James. Faith is imperative. And you can't have faith unless you demonstrate it. Or you can't see faith in anyone if you don't demonstrate it. And so James says in James 2, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. There are many people who think that you can be saved by faith only. But faith by itself is dead. And we know that which is dead can accomplish nothing. A dead dog can't warn you of an intruder. A dead mule can't pull a plow. That which is dead cannot perform any useful task. And so faith that is dead cannot produce anything of value. So having a dead faith, the scripture tells us, is actually worse than having no faith. So an atheist who does not believe in God is better off than a man who has dead faith. Look what Peter says in 2 verse 20 and 21. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, those who have faith to obey and become children of God, if they again be entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of truth than having, after they've known it, turn away from the holy commandments delivered to them. Well, we know if a man has no faith in God, his eternal destination is hell. But a man who has faith that turns back into the world, the scripture tells us how much more sore punishment, suppose ye thought worthy of, he that has trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he is sanctified an unholy thing and done despite to the Spirit of grace. Ephesians says, grieve not the Spirit of God that is in you, wherewith you have been sealed. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and God, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You have to maintain your faith. So for James, the connection between faith and works is inseparable. The two are connected, if you will, right at the hip. And so you cannot separate the two and be... Come on. So what can you learn from James? What can we learn from the book of James about faith? Well, first, faith endures trials. And trials will come. Faith is that which allows you to endure. Co-workers will lie and speak evil of you. You will have someone in your family get cancer or die, heart attack. They'll die from this disease or that disease. Everybody in their families have experienced these things and will experience these things. You will have a car wreck at the most inappropriate time when you have no money. You'll have a wreck. You'll have bills you can't pay. Men's going to scoff at your faith. They'll be literally. You can lose your job, lose your financial base, lose your health. All these things happen in our lives. And they've happened in your lives. What does James say about these things? Get my tongue loose here. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Psalms 119, verse 71 says, "It was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy precepts." Faith is what gives you the ability to endure, the ability to hang on, to become perfect, mature. Paul says you are to walk circumspectly. That means you're to be sober-minded. You are to consider carefully what is going on in your life and understand it. Trials come and go, but a strong faith will face them and to allow you to develop patience and endurance. That's what trials do for us. They will help us to develop strength and perseverance and steadfastness in our faith. James 5, "Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and of tender mercy." We've heard of Job. Now think about poor Job. And sometimes when you read Scripture, we don't really get into the moment. We don't really perceive, here is a man, a good man, a righteous man, living his life. He got up that morning, the sun was shining, everything was good, and he offered his prayers to God as he had done every morning for his children. And all of a sudden, the tornado hits the building, and all 10 of his children are killed at one time. And other calamities happen. Job was devastated. We cry because our car broke down. Think about the trials Job went through. And yet in all this, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. We got to be careful when trials come. We need to understand. Job did not sin by charging God foolishly. Paul tells Timothy that he is to endure afflictions. Not that you might endure afflictions, but you will endure afflictions. All that live godly in the present world, Paul says, will suffer persecution. But do the work. Even though you have these trials and things to go through, you must keep steadfast in the work of God. James 1, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Notice, you don't receive the crown until you've been tried, and overcome. Think about Job. Excuse me. If Job, on that morning, hearing all that bad news, had thrown up his hand in despair and started blaming God and doing what his wife suggested, he just curse God and die, we would have had a terrible, different ending to that story. But Job didn't do that. The crown of life comes after you have endured. Revelation says they had to be faithful unto death. That's how long you have to be faithful unto death. You have to endure this life until such time as you are out of this life. You transition into the next sphere of your existence. 2 Corinthians, Paul gives us a list of the things he endured. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. The law of Moses allowed a man to be beaten 40 times. And so, to make sure they didn't miscount, they always stopped at 39. That's the reason why when you read, you always read 40 stripes, less one. Because they always wanted to make sure they did not go past the permitted 40 stripes. 3 times he says he was beaten with rods. Now, these were not just casual things. These kind of beatings and whippings could, in fact, kill a man. He says, once I was stoned. He was left for dead, but God blessed us with the fact he didn't die, but he was stoned. 3 times he suffered shipwreck. A night and a day had been in the deep. He journeyed often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of his own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in cities, in perils of wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. The Apostle Paul is a prime example of a man who could endure. And he did that by faith, by having the kind of faith that will save a man. And later then he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness with the Lord. The righteous judge shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Notice what he says. I have fought the good fight. He did not say he won the battles. We don't earn or win victories. The victory is won by Jesus Christ. Our job is to just keep fighting. And finishing the course. You finish the course when you lay down and take your last breath. Your course is finished. And he clung tightly to his faith. He kept the faith. He says, henceforth, there's laid up for me. Now, what did Hebrews 11:6 say? It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that comes to God must believe, and that he must believe he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Apostle Paul understood that he was going to receive a crown of righteousness. Why? Because he did keep the faith. He did finish the course. And he did fight the good fight. Secondly, James teaches us that true faith understands the source of trials and temptations. Faith will let you understand. There's two sources of trials and temptations, those that are external and those that are internal. External, sickness, accidents, disaster, those things you have no control over. The tornado hit Job's children's home and destroyed it and killed them. That wasn't anybody's fault. That was just a nature fact that sometimes things happen. But the internal source comes from our own heart. Envy, hatred, covetousness, drunkenness. All those sins listed in Galatians, works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. All those are sins of the heart. James says, let every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Where does sin originate? In our hearts. Begins with us, in our lust. Faith will not allow us to give in to that lust. It will help us fight. It says, flee from every appearance of evil. A man that has faith follows, understands God's word, flees. And in so doing, he is protected against his lust. nor will it allow you to be swallowed up in sorrow. There's things that can happen in this life that are really, really tragic. Letitia's sister had a child who ran out in the road and was run over. I cannot imagine how hard that would be on a parent. Lots of times people suffer tragedies like that, and it allows them to go into deep depression and turn their anger and frustration against God. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in chapter 4, verse 13, concerning them that have died, that you sorrow not as others who have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If you have faith, you can understand. Death is just a part of life. It's a transition that all people go through. It's not the end of anything. It is actually the beginning. Faith will bring you into a proper understanding of trials, give you the ability to understand and bear up and endure. External trials. Jesus talked about the 18 souls upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were more sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? No. The question is clearly a no. That's not why that tower fell. Why did it fall? Physics. You take brick and mortar, over time it begins to deteriorate, and when it deteriorates to a point where it can no longer bear the weight, it crumbles and falls. And unfortunately for those 18 souls, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. In Ecclesiastes it says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong, neither bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to us all. In this world that we live, we're subject to time and chance. So one should be careful how you respond to situations that come up. Sickness, health, death, whatever it is, you got to be careful how you respond. Say not thou, but what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. When you say, why, Lord, is it worse now than it was? You're murmuring against God. Israel did that for 40 years, murmured and complained against God. You hear people say, how could God allow this to happen? And they actually call God into judgment, if you will. Job did not sin. That's sin. When you call God to account for something that is just a natural event in this world that you have to go through, all men do, then you're sinning against God. But Job did not charge God foolishly. He did not say, Lord, why did you allow these things to happen? What he said is, the Lord gave and the Lord takes away. That's an understanding, a proper understanding of trials and temptations that you face. 1 Corinthians, there is no temptation taking you, but which is common to man. You think my sister-in-law's child being run over was the only child ever run over? Amos was 8 years old. He was my brother. He was run over by a semi-truck. And there are countless other people. This is not unique to us. Things happen to people in the world, and everything that you go through, trust me, other people are going through or have gone through. It says, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. Now, that's an interesting comment, which said that God understood Job, as hard of a tragedy as Job had to endure. Job was able. Why? Because of his faith in God. God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able. So when temptation comes, when trials come, know you're able. You are able to overcome if you look for the way of escape that God has promised to make. He says God will make a way of escape. Sometimes we just don't look for that way. Other times we look and see it, but we don't like that way. And we don't choose that way. David walked on the roof of his house and saw Bathsheba bathing. He could have turned and went back in the house and done what he ought to have done. God gave him a way of escape, but David didn't choose to take it. A lot of times, we all know, we have been in that same situation where God gave us the way to escape, but we chose not to take it. And we commit sin. So how can you protect yourself? How can you protect yourself from these trials and temptations? Ecclesiastes says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God is set the one against the other. That man cannot find out the beginning from the end. Everything is in God's hands. That's what you need to be careful to consider and understand. That when God has blessed you with good things, be joyful and happy. When you have adversity like Job, consider. Job says, shall I receive good at the hand of God and not evil? You know, shall God protect me from all? God's never promised to give you a rose garden. Sometimes people think that if you're a good person, if you do all the right things, then God's just going to bless you and you'll be rich and happy and your children will be beautiful. It doesn't work that way. God never said it was going to work that way. Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Where does sin originate? From the lust of your heart. If you think on these things, you can avoid those evil thoughts. Don't let evil enter into your mind. Keep your mind focused on that which is pure and good and just and honest, and you will help yourself overcome evil and protect yourself from trials and temptations. Faith obeys the word. And I'm going to have to hurry, folks. James 1, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And he talks about the man beholding himself in a natural glass and forgetting who he was. But if you are a doer of the word and not just a hearer, then that man will be blessed. A man who does make the corrections when he looks into that perfect law of liberty, when you read your scripture and you see the flaws in your life and you make correction, then you are going to be blessed by God. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, the antithesis of that is also true. If you don't do what you learned, received, and heard, and seen, then God is not going to be giving you any peace. To get the peace of God, you must be a doer of the word. Ephesians chapter 6, that Van read to our hearing. Having done all to stand, stand. And above all, take this shield of faith, whereby you may be able to quench the fiery darts. That is what faith can do for you. A saving faith. I put saving there because I understand the people have faith. But faith will not save them unless it is an active doing faith. And saving faith always produces obedient doers of the word. Now you see signs all over the place. You see it all in unbelief. You see it all over the world. You know, thank you, Jesus. Jesus saves. God loves us. People who are calling themselves Christians, you see it up and down the road, in yards, on billboards. Romans 10 says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. People who hold to false doctrine are not submitting themselves to the righteousness of God. In fact, in Revelation it says, and I know the blasphemy of them that say they're Jews, say that they're children of God, and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. People who claim to be Christians and who are not truly following the scripture are blaspheming God. And they're serving the devil. Now, they don't know that. They're ignorant. Some people are led astray because they believe what the man said. If you just pray the sinner's prayer and have faith, you'll be saved. And they buy it, hook, line, and sinker. But that's a lie. God never said that. And as it is in all of these denominations that do not teach the truth. Faith harbors no prejudice. James says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. Being a racist is sin. When you think of a person differently just because of their skin color, their national origin, their religion, you're committing sin. Ezekiel says that all souls of men belong to God. Therefore, all men are precious to God. And you should not show partiality. Wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, easy, and entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Faith will help you control the tongue. The tongue, a little member boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defiles the whole body. It is set on the course of nature and is set on fire of Gehenna. That's a Greek term, translated hell. The tongue is set on fire by the fires of hell, and no man can tame it. We need to have strong faith to help us contain and control our tongue, because it will get us in trouble, and it has gotten us in trouble. So lessons. Faith endures and is steadfast. Faith understands the nature of temptation. Faith is obedient to the word. Faith harbors no prejudice or hypocrisy. Faith will help control the tongue. Faith will keep oneself unspotted from the world. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion. That's what we all want, pure religion. Visits fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. So if you heard the gospel, Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. He arose the third day. Then ask yourself, are you a doer or just a hearer? That's a fundamental question. And only you can answer that question. If you're a person that has a saving faith, not having faith, the devils believe, but having a saving faith, then you will do. Jesus said he must repent. Acts 17:30. Time of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. You must confess Christ before men. Romans 10:10. With the heart man believes with righteousness. With the tongue confession is made unto salvation. And you must be baptized. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. If you have heard, and if you are in need of response to the gospel, Now is your time. You need to be thoughtful and be a doer and not just a hearer. A hearer will not accomplish anything. It is dead without works. If you need prayers with the congregation, at this time, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.